This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota Safety Sense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Hello, we are here for More Happier, a podcast where we get more happier. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Gretch.
So today I will pose two fairly odd questions to Elizabeth, and we will discuss them. But first, Elizabeth, what is something making you more happier?
Okay, what's making me more happier this week is my new Facebook group, which is called Beautiful Table Settings. So, Gretch,
that is specific.
I know.
I mean, they say there's an app for everything. Yeah. I mean, there's a Facebook group for everything.
Well, you know that I'm into the tablescapes, right? Now, I've only granted, like, actually set a couple of tables since declaring my love for tablescapes. But that doesn't mean I don't love tablescapes. And what I realized is there's this Facebook group where people post, like, pictures of their tablescapes. They're very intricate table settings. They post pictures of different kinds of china and different glasses and silverware. And it's the kind of thing where I can just enjoy it, even if I'm not posting my own wonderful table settings. I can enjoy theirs, and I'm learning because I'm seeing what people do. So it's just fun and educational.
So it feels like your tablescape fantasies are more attainable now that you have that new piece of furniture near your dining room. Do you feel like it's all feels more possible?
I do, because I can store things in there. It's got storage. Yeah. And because of it's wide, I can sort of see what I have, and that makes it less cumbersome to try to set a nice table. So yeah, I do feel that I'm heading ever more toward beautiful tablescapes, Gretch. And this is just one tool now in my toolbox.
Right. But and are you, have you like, oh, I'm going to make a note of that, or I'm going to make a sketch, or is it still just sort of feeding your imagination?
I'd say it's still feeding my imagination. But what I love to, what I realize I love is when people have like monochromatic, like I love it when they have, you know, blue tinted glasses with blue plates and a blue placemat. And I don't know, it's just a fun, it's funny what appeals to me.
That's interesting. Well, educating your taste is like just knowing what you like.
Yes.
That's really good. I'm always just like, I'll take a picture of what mom does at her parties, and one day I will be a grown-up enough and I will copy her.
I have done
I can't
that.
Do that yet because it's still beyond my reach. But one day I will feel capable of that, and then I will have a photograph and I'll just copy her.
No, I have done that. And I will say, Gretch, what's interesting, what you learn in this Facebook group is that the bane of people's existence is storage. Where can they store their dishes? Yeah. And it's funny, the controversies that come up, like whether or not you need to take out fine china and wash it and dry it at least once a year, or it'll chip, or if you don't need to do that. So that's a big controversy. So
it feels like there's an answer to that, like a scientific answer.
Yeah, well, people are in disagreement about that answer.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. I can't get so in the weeds on this subject.
It is true, though, that part of what's fun about being in like a subculture is the controversies and debates that people get into. Oh, that's fun. Well, that's fun. Maybe I'll go check it out myself.
So what is making you happier, Gretch?
Well, you for years had tried to get me to watch Mad Men, and I didn't. And then finally I did, and I was so happy. And so then I wanted to repeat that experience. So we watched Breaking Bad, which I love, which was amazing. And the great thing about Breaking Bad is, like, when Mad Men was done, I'm like, where's more Mad Men? But there was no more Mad Men. But with Breaking Bad, it's like, oh, you can immediately go to Better Call Saul. Like, one of my favorite characters was Mike. Well, Mike is back. Because he's in Better Call Saul. And we're only like 4 episodes into the first season. So it's kind of that delicious feeling where you're like, this is really, really good. And everybody tells me it's going to get better. And I have so much more ahead of me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the thing is, I would binge it because I often don't feel like watching TV. But then once I start, I don't want to stop. But Jamie will only watch like maximum, I think we've ever watched is 3 episodes and usually only 2 and often only 1. So it takes a long time to get through it. So it really, like, there's a lot of enjoyment to be had.
And then you get to talk about it, which is so much fun.
Here's something interesting that a friend of mine who teaches film was observing about Breaking Bad and her students. And she said what was interesting is that the students who watched, and this is like spoiler coming, so if you don't want to hear the spoiler, fast forward, that for students who binged it, you know, started at the end and just binged their way through, they felt that all of everything that was happening to Walter White exposed his true nature. But that students who watched it week to week as it unfolded believed that Walter had been changed by circumstances, that his personality was fundamentally changed. So the bingers thought that he had been revealed, and the slow watchers thought that he had been changed. And I just thought that was such an interesting...
Very interesting.
Do you ever think about... I mean, you've got so many things to think about. Like, do you ever think, like, well, what is Fantasy Island like if you watch it in one night versus if you watch it over the season, like at the end? Or it's just hard to know how people experience it.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, and are people paying even total attention, or are they also playing on their phone, or all of those things factor in?
Right. Like, how subtle can you be?
Yes. Yeah. I think the ultimate experience is watching once a week. I mean, that, like, if I have an HBO show I'm watching and I hear that HBO music, I get so excited.
Yeah.
But I am a binger. I love to just get drunk on a TV show. Nothing is more pleasurable to me.
Yeah. No, it's like, even if you know you would have more overall pleasure, it's like, but I want less pleasure now.
Exactly.
It's like getting the payout from the lottery.
Yes.
You're like, I'll take less money right now than a lot more money over the phone. That's true. Wait, here's the list that I wanted to share. This other thing that was making me happier. We just got this email from Matthew who said, over the past few years, my 3 daughters and I have been listening to your Happier podcast together, something positive at the end of the day before they go to bed. Just wanted to let you know how much we enjoy this and hope to see you in Melbourne, Australia one day.
Aww.
I mean, from the way this is phrased, I think the girls are pretty little. And I love the idea of these 3 little girls tucked into bed listening to our podcast.
Yes.
So, hey there.
Yes. Hello, Matthew and daughters.
Yes, you're making us very happy.
All right, Gretch, coming up, you're going to ask me a question, something you've been meaning to ask me. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Lucy, here's a question for you. I've been meaning to ask you this. I was just posing a question to myself, and I was thinking, how has parenthood changed me? And I was realizing that I'm sure it's changed me in a lot of ways, but one way that it's changed me, and this may be TMI, is when I'm at home. So this is not something that I do when I'm out and about. When I'm at home, and not in a place where there's a lot of people walking back and forth, but I mean just having a regular bathroom experience. I'm in the bathroom. I leave the door ajar, not wide open, but not just like a crack. I leave it ajar. And I realize it's because that I've done that ever since Eliza was little. Because when she was little, I just always felt like if I would dash into the bathroom, but I had to like stay alert for anything that might happen, like in my absence or whatever. And I somehow have never got, I've never changed that, I realize. I still do that.
That is so funny. I bet a lot of people do that. I bet we will hear from many, many people who do exactly the same thing because of that.
I don't know. It's funny because when I'm not home, I think nothing of shutting a bathroom door. But when I'm home, I don't shut a bathroom door.
Well, I do shut the bathroom door, but something that has changed for me, Gretch, this might be a little bigger than shutting the bathroom door. And I think I've mentioned this on Happier in Hollywood, that becoming a mother cured my writer's block.
Ooh, why? That's big.
I mean, I think it's just because I no longer had time for writer's block. You know, I mean, when you are working full time and you have especially a baby, which is when this happened, I just, if I had time to write, I just had to do it. And I couldn't, I mean, writer's block, so much of it is really just anxiety, fear of failure.
Yes.
More than it is like the block of something from like the universe. It's really just yourself being anxious. And then once I had Jack, I'm like, okay, I have an hour. I need to write. I need to get a page done. And it felt quite miraculous because even now that he's older and I do, you know, he obviously doesn't need that constant attention, I still have never experienced writer's block again the way that I did before he was born. So that was a great change. And it's just funny that, I mean, yes, it's changed me. You know, we've all changed many ways from being parents, but that's just a concrete way that blew my mind.
Well, it's interesting because I wonder, like, you had to work through it because of just circumstances. And then once you'd worked through it, you've realized
there's
that
nothing to be afraid of.
Right. Or that you just barrel through it.
Yes.
But I wonder if that's why things like NaNoWriMo, where you have to write a like 50,000 word novel in a month. So part of it is the accountability and part of it is a challenge. But I wonder if part of it is that you have to do it every day. And so people don't have that writer's block because there's just such a deadline.
Well, and they're like, if I'm going to get through this, I have to write 8,000 words. And so I just have to write something.
Right.
I think that absolutely makes a difference. And for me, it's also just realizing, and this is, I mean, many writers I'm sure can relate to this. And I don't know if you can, because you've never had, I don't think, the anxiety surrounding it, but doing it is so much less painful than not doing it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the stewing is worse than the doing.
Yes.
And what you say, which is action is the antidote to anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But I think I'm going to be miserable typing, but I'm actually less miserable.
Right.
So that's a good change.
Right. Okay. But listen, this reminds me of what I want to talk about next, which is a question that I want to be asking you related to this rhetorical question I asked myself about whether and how parenthood changed me. So I can't wait to ask you that. But first, I want to do a spotlight on a tool.
Yeah. So what is the spotlight this week?
Okay. Well, it's the beginning of February. A lot of people think about relationships. It could be romantic relationships. It could be Palentine's Day, Galentine's Day, all that, you know, any kind of relationship. But it's great to have self-knowledge in relationships. And so I will point people to the Know Yourself Better journal, Building Connections, because it has a lot of Know Yourself Better questions that are aimed at helping you to strengthen relationships, whether that's making new friends or strengthening existing relationships. The journal will help you understand yourself and other people better. And if you want to check that out, it's happiercast.com/journals. It's the Building Connections journal. And if you had to say, what is the secret to a happy life, you would say meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. And so if you're focusing on your relationships, the journal is a helpful tool.
Yes. And it's very pleasing and pretty to look at and to hold.
So thank you for saying that. Yeah, I do. It's one of my favorites.
All right, Gretchen. And then after the next break, you're going to ask me another question. That's coming up.
You know, Liz, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But FrameBridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or you can visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. FrameBridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to FrameBridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog Barnaby loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
So listen, a few minutes ago, I had something I had been meaning to ask you, and it was, how did you respond to the rhetorical question that I asked myself, which was if and how parenthood had changed me? But my second question, which that question made me think of, is, do you ask yourself rhetorical questions? Because I often ask myself rhetorical questions like, how has parenthood changed me? I just asked myself that rhetorical question and thought about it. Do you do that? Is that something that everybody does or no?
Gretch, I have to admit, I don't think I ever do that. I think the only time I ask myself maybe like speculative questions regarding my career or something, but I never ask myself these analyzing type questions. And when you ask them to me, I then ponder them at length and discuss, yeah. But I don't ask them myself.
But wait, so what's a speculative question? Like, what do you mean? What is that?
Oh, like, what would happen if I got this next, if we got another season of Fantasy Island, you know, how would I then try to get something else or, you know, things like that? Like,
I see. Like, how would I respond?
Yes.
Right. Oh, I got
it. To circumstances.
Okay. Right.
But that's not like philosophical.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest, like probably one of the most important moments of my life, actually looking back, was I asked myself a rhetorical question. This is when I was clerking for Justice O'Connor. I was just like walking around the Capitol grounds during my lunch hour. And I asked myself a rhetorical question, which was, what am I interested in that everybody else in the world is interested in? Like, what is the most interesting subject? And I thought, well, power, money, fame, sex. And then it was like power, money, fame, sex. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so interesting. And then I ran out and started researching and writing. And that's what turned into my first book. My first book was called Power, Money, Fame, Sex, A User's Guide. But it was from asking myself just that rhetorical question.
Well, I think that is, Gretch, behind so much of your work is you asking yourself something. I mean, think about the four tendencies. Wasn't that you asking yourself, well, why do some people have no problem keeping a New Year's resolution and others can't for the life of them? And then you started researching.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So this is at the heart of what you do. If you stop asking yourself these questions, we're in trouble.
There you go. Okay. So interesting.
And here, Gretch, this is something to ask that's interesting. I think of a rhetorical question as something that you don't need to answer because people always say, and that's not a rhetorical question.
What is a rhetorical question? I thought a rhetorical question was like something that you could think of. What is a rhetorical question? Hang on, I'm going to look it up. Okay, I've been misusing rhetorical question my whole life. I don't think I actually really knew what a rhetorical question was. Okay, rhetorical question is a question asked in order to create a dramatic effect or to make a point rather than to get an answer. So I was misusing it. Okay, mm-hmm. Lessons learned. So rhetorical question is like, and do you think it's a good idea to mindlessly follow your friends as they go about doing silly things? And you're supposed to say no.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess I would say, do you ask yourself
self-reflective
questions for no reason?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you ask yourself pointless but thought-provoking questions?
Yes.
I guess the question is, do you do that?
And the answer is no, I don't.
Okay. Good.
We have gotten to the bottom of this.
Good. We've learned a lot about ourselves and language.
Yes. Okay, Gretch, what is this week's quotation?
This week's quotation comes from Colson Whitehead's The Colossus of New York. The light changes and he has that wish again that every step he ever took left a neon footprint. Every step from his first to these, that way he could catch up with himself, track himself through city and years.
Ooh, I like that.
So Elizabeth, are you feeling more happier? And I say that not rhetorically, but literally.
Yes, I am. I am feeling more happier. Thank you to Chuck. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com. And for everything related to this episode, links, photos, and more, go to happiercast.com. Bye, Gretch.
Bye, Elizabeth. The best time to start a happiness project is 20 years ago. The second best time is now. So, Elizabeth, I have to say, I now feel enormous clarity about a rhetorical question because you're using it as rhetoric. You're just using it to make a point.
It just occurred to me while you were talking, I was like, wait a second, this isn't what I think of as rhetorical. But then I thought, well, maybe I've been wrong because that's entirely possible.
Well, it's one of these things that I think we were close. You know, close enough. But then once we really got into it.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's good to learn something new every day.
From the Onward Project.